It is time for your Cinco de Favo.
Cinco de Favo. We some more than of your fan. Tune in and hear what's brewing. The list that's so, so there. A bunch of mercy in the air. Opinions flying high. Sean's got the scoop, don't miss out. Give it a try.
All right.
From the top to the bottom.
Thank you. Another way too long.
The rankings are alive. Every week a new surprise.
I apparently went too early.
So grab your sombrero. Join the fun. Don't be late. Cinco de Favo on WFN. It's always great.
All right.
Sean Morris.
All right. All right. All right, that's enough. Cinco de Favo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere. Yesterday, I was called a hater, oh, Mr. Negative on the Jets. I gave you the five things I want to see from the Jets in the preseason. Giants football tomorrow, 1 p.m. Evan will update you on a signal split in just a moment on the Giants.
Oh, that's right. We have a signal split tomorrow. Can I update everybody right now?
Why don't we do that now, Evan?
Yeah, so tomorrow, all the festivities of Old Timers Day will begin at 11:30 on 660. And we got it all covered. Susan, Emmanuel Barbari, Dave Sims, they're going to do a great job. Lots of interviews, memories, former players. So we got it covered beginning at 11:30 tomorrow on 660. And we got the Giant game on the FM side. Did I get all that all right?
And who can you hear on the Giants pregame on the FM side?
You could hear Tiki Barber.
There you go. So big day tomorrow on WFAN. Two
Tiki
signals.
Tiki Barber here.
Yankees, Giants. But in terms of the Giants, the five things I want to see from the Giants in this preseason. Here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
By the end of this preseason, I want Cam Scataboo to look the part of a real running back tandem with Tyrone Tracy. He already got banged up this week at practice, which sucks, but I want to feel good about Scataboo beyond the aura of Cam Scataboo.
I assume he's not going to play tomorrow, right?
Right.
Because he's banged up?
But again, this is for the whole preseason.
Gotcha. I'm just one down, two to go. I mean, there's only three of them.
I know. I assume too. All right, here we go.
Number four.
I think this one's a big one. Drew Phillips to take the next step to be one of the better nickel corners in football. Look, everyone wanted to praise the guy for being a good third-round pick last year. How about not take a step back? Part of the reason people believe in the Giants' talent is those guys from last year's draft taking a big step forward.
For those that listen every day, and you're really a P1 listener, and you analyze his Cincos, there is clearly something going on. I'll explain when his Cinco is over.
Okay. Here we go.
Number three.
Deontay Banks to actually earn a starter's role and not just be handed one. He's in a big camp fight right now with Cordell Flott. Boy, that would be real sucky if a first-round pick doesn't win a starter's job here in year three.
That's a bust. That's what that is.
Absolutely. Here we go.
Number two.
This is very niche. The second-team offensive line, not to get eaten alive by second-team defensive linemen, because as Evan alluded to earlier, somebody goes down like Andrew Thomas. They invested in all these backups in the offensive line. How about don't stink?
Bro, that's a big deal. I know it may not get a lot of attention, but one of the most talked about topics on FAN for the last 10 years has been the Giants offensive line. Well, injuries happen, and your left tackle's injury prone. So, yes, the depth of the offensive line needs to be solid.
And I'm going to undercut number one by saying this. Let's take a window seat to Giants training camp sponsored by Windorama's First Down Deals. 30% off your installation project.
Number one.
Jackson Dart is in the window seat, but not for the reason you may think, Evan. My number one thing I want to see from the Giants this preseason, for Jackson Dart to make some mistakes on the football field. It'd feel real nice if we walk out of here Saturday with Jackson Dart lighting up the world, right? Guess what? At some point, a rookie quarterback is going to make some implosion mistakes. That's a good thing, because the quicker he makes those mistakes, the quicker he can watch the freaking film, the quicker he can learn from those mistakes. And I actually think Jackson Dart having some easy breezy preseason where he learns nothing about how to make mistakes and then making those mistakes in regular season games will drive us nuts. I want to see him throw a pick or two this preseason.
What did Daniel Jones do in his first preseason game?
I don't remember.
What did Eli Manning do in his first preseason game?
I don't remember.
What did Sam Darnold do in his first preseason game?
I don't remember.
No, that was the point of this. None of us actually remember.
Right. But in real time.
No, I know.
I don't think it's a crazy take to say that, though,
no,
right?
No, not at all. Look, the thing about Jackson Dart that's very unique to me is you don't want him to play.
Right.
Like you're excited to see him, but the Giants are actually doing this thing right. The Jets never do it right when they drafted young quarterbacks. They play him right away. And I never liked it. I never thought it was a good idea. I think it is best to make a guy wait. So the way he plays in the preseason game is going to be one of, hopefully, his rare opportunities to just actually play.
Right. But if he doesn't make any mistakes and then they sit him until December, what good is that? Let him get through his head, hey, I can't make that kind of throw in the NFL.
I think your Cinco is very solid. It started very differently than the Jet one because you would say such as, you know, the quarterbacks suck. Someone's got to prove it. You had more of a positive tone with the Giants than you did with the Jets. But you know what? It ended pretty good, and I'll leave it up to the audience. If you listen to his Cinco from yesterday, you can download it on the Evan and Tiki podcast and compare it to today's Cinco. You can make your own determination.
Okay.
Old Timers Day is this weekend. We mentioned all the coverage right here on WFAN. There are three guys who are appearing at Old Timers Day for the first time.
All right.
Do you want to guess the three guys?
You know what's funny? I haven't looked at the Old Timers Day roster at all, so I really have no idea. For the first time, are they all off the 2000 team?
They were, two of them was, one of them may have been there for 30 seconds, but he wasn't, I don't think of him as the 2000 team. But I want to give you a correct answer on that. Two of them definitely. He played 22 games in 2000, no impact. You don't think of him as a 2000 Yankee, to be fair.
All right, tell me. I don't know.
Roger Clemens.
Oh, okay. I knew Clemens was coming back. Okay.
Jose Vizcaino.
Nice!
Who got the game-winning hit, obviously, and is a former Met. And the third guy is Alfonso Soriano.
He's never been back?
I guess not. I mean, he retired a decade ago, so he had plenty of time to do it. Is that true, Rosie? He's never been back for an old-timers day?
That sounds off. I feel like I remember him coming back.
Or did you screw that piece of information up? And if that's okay if you did. Still wouldn't be as many mistakes as Hoffman makes, so it's okay.
I was going to say, if that was Hoffman, I'd 100% think it was a mistake.
No, he has the star next to his name, which means a first-time OTD attendee.
What?
The Blue.
He'll get a nice hand.
Took him a decade. I have a question about Soriano that I always have found fascinating. So Alfonso Soriano ended up having like a pretty good career, like actually a really good career.
Mm-hmm.
With the Yankees, he was a really good player, and in the prime of his career, he was traded for A-Rod.
Yep.
So the rest of his career, Texas, Washington, Chicago, he came back at the very end, but you know, whatever. I kind of throw that one out there.
I remember being very excited when he came back.
Yeah, but he was 37 years old.
Like,
he was done. So his career was a good one, but, you know, we don't think of him as a Yankee legend because he was traded early on for A-Rod.
We would have.
That's my point. The man hit a home run that would have been the game-winning home run in Game 7 of the World Series in the top of the eighth inning.
Yep. He lives in Yankee lore if Mariano doesn't blow that save.
That's what I was going to ask you. Like,
absolutely. And remember, he had one of the game-winning hits.
In the NLCS against Seattle.
Well, no, and also he was part of one of those comebacks.
You're right. I'm sorry. No, I think Seattle, too. I think he did both. I think he.
But in part of those magical nights in Arizona, he had the non-home run of all the ones.
The non-Mr. November Jeter moment was Soriano. And then I think in that same LCS, or that same year, had a game-winning hit against Seattle. I think it was the same game Paul Abbott had like a no-hitter in the fifth or sixth inning and got pulled with a no-hitter. Do you remember this thing?
I do.
He walked like a 100.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So, to your point, legend.
Yep.
How would we view him if they won that World Series? Like, would they have traded him for A-Rod? Would it almost have been like, well, no, we can't trade him for A-Rod. I mean, the guy's in Yankee lore.
You know, my guess is they probably still trade him for A-Rod. However, are they as desperate to trade for A-Rod if they are coming off?
Because they win in 0-1, like they still, you have to assume 0-2 and 0-3 play out the same way. You have to.
Are they as desperate?
Why were they desperate after 03 to do it anyway?
I guess they won in 2000. Now that I'm thinking
this out loud. I don't think they were desperate. Nah. I think they took advantage of the opportunity that, hey, Boston couldn't seal the A-Rod deal. A-Rod's a great player. As good as Soriano is, A-Rod's better. Let's just go get him.
They probably still trade him.
They still trade him. And how do we view him as he returns? Like a legend?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, dude, don't you think Aaron Boone's more of a legend if they win the 03 World Series?
Well, that's why I bring it up. Like, Boone's was a walk-off against the Red Sox. This wasn't going to be a walk-off, but it was Game 7 of the World Series.
If winning a championship changes everything, and being a big reason why changes everything. To have the game-winning hit in... Let's be honest. We talk about what our favorite Yankee World Championship is.
Oh, that would have been it.
0-1 would have been it.
100%.
No doubt about it.
Between, obviously, the emotions after September 11th and the way they won those games.
Yes.
That would have blown all the other years away.
It would have been everybody's favorite Yankee team of all time.
It's why I'm going to ask you a very unpopular question. So the Yankees are honoring the 25th anniversary of the 2000 Yankees, the team that won the World Series, beat the Mets. We all know the dynasty. Next year is going to be the 25th anniversary of the 0-1 team. I know you guys don't honor pennant winners, but that team was so special, I'd consider honoring them.
I would, but I would do it in a unique way. I don't know that I would do it on a random August date. I think I'd honor them September 11th or right around there.
Oh, that makes sense.
You know what I mean?
That's good.
Maybe you don't want to take away from first responders. If I'm assuming on the 25th anniversary.
That's true. You know what? Now that I think about it, you can't do it on September 11th. Because it's going to be the 25th year anniversary of that horrible event. Like, it's going to be more about that than it is the baseball. I think it would have to be a different day.
Okay. But still, I think around that time, maybe not. You know, that's where people are going to get, I think, very nostalgic.
That's the one
that.
Pennant winner that I think the Yankees should honor. Because you're right about that team. We had that countdown that occurred from our committee earlier this year on the greatest kind of bridesmaids in New York sports history. Almost Champions was what it was called. And they won, and they deserve to win.
This is an easy answer for me. September 11th next year falls on a Friday. We're getting Mets-Yankees that weekend.
Well, we did that in 2021,
for the 20th anniversary.
Yeah.
For a weekend series, you're going to get Mets-Yankees that weekend. You don't do it that Friday. That's Saturday or Sunday. You honor the 2011.
Makes a lot of sense. You know, it's funny. The baseball schedule usually comes out by now, as weird as that is a year in advance, but they usually do. It comes out in like July. I've been texting. I'm so weird.
Are you kidding me?
I've been texting Sonny Carton, who works with MLB now, Craig's son. Like, hey, Sonny, when's the MLB schedule coming out?
Is that the only thing you're texting him?
I'm a loser. Yes, that's the only thing. And he writes me back. He's like, yeah, I'll find out. He didn't find out. So I texted him again. I'm like, are we going to find out about this schedule? I'm the one guy anxious about this freaking 2026 schedule. But you bring up a great point about the Mets and the Yankees probably being set up for that weekend.
How do you not?
It makes complete sense.
Is it possible they honor both teams somehow, no matter what ballpark it's actually in?
Why would they honor the 2001 Mets?
Well, just because of the 9/11
because of the way they
with the city.
No, on September 11th, you're talking not about the baseball. I think that's why I said it has to be separate. Like, it's not about what the Yankees did or the Mets did. I think it's more about 25 years since. You know, it's the
Saturday, September 12th. You know, people are still feeling the weekend.
Yeah,
you haven't done that.
I think that's different.
Yeah,
I think the anniversary is such a weird anniversary because it's the horror. But it's also the heroes that we celebrate.
Right.
It's two things.
And the rising above and coming back. Yes.
But obviously none of us can get over the horror of that day. But yeah, I would guess that they'll do Mets-Yankees.